This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are your weekly gaming podcast that goes one-on-one and gets intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot, and this week I'm joined by Cameron.
As you have been joined by me for a couple of weeks now.
I mean, we may as well be joined at the hip at this point.
Oh, I think my husband would have a few problems with that.
Oh, it's okay. I mean, you know.
Have a few problems with being conjoined to you, I believe.
This week on the show, we want to talk about the success of the Nintendo indie scene. So the Nindies, as they've kind of coined them.
A shocking turn of events. Mm. 2 years ago, you'd say that Nintendo was kind of the home of good indie, like, marketplace. I would be like, ah.
Yeah, exactly. Nah. They really have, like... in this latest generation, as they've moved to the Switch, they've really embraced indies in a massive way. And we've spoke about it a bit before, but we really have some stats to back us up this time. Most recently, it was the developer of Hollow Knight, Team Cherry, who is an Australian-based development studio, who came out on Twitter to say that 250,000 copies of Hollow Knight has been sold just in its first week on the Switch, which is just insane numbers for a small Australian-developed game.
Yeah, and it's worldwide as well. This, like, the coverage for it has gone all over. And so this isn't just, like, in Australia. This is worldwide, it's selling these copies. And it's so great to see... such a big name like Nintendo,
yep.
To lift up these smaller companies. Because Nintendo doesn't need to do that. Nintendo would have no problem making money.
I think Nintendo has massively benefited from embracing indies. And yes, you're right, they don't have to.
They don't have to.
But it was such a smart move. Like, let's go back about 5 years. Do you remember when The Binding of Isaac was trying to get on the Nintendo 3DS? And yep. Nintendo was like, no, there's some religious undertones here. It's a bit of a horrific kind of... game, like, we don't want that.
Yeah.
Now The Binding of Isaac, it's on the Switch.
Yeah.
So they've done this full, like, 360, well, no, 180.
360 is still going in the same direction.
Stop it. Mate. Corrected myself.
Everyone does that. It's 180.
They've done a full 180 on this kind of topic, and they're like, you know what? I don't know why we were being so closed before. Let's embrace the indies, and here we are.
Well, it falls down to, like, during the Switch's kind of creation, you know, wasn't there a bit of, like, some restructuring going on within Nintendo? Some new ideas were coming to the forefront.
There might be some inner workings,
yeah,
potentially, for sure.
I think that's the thing, is you got some new voices in the boardroom who kind of recognized the importance of diversifying your brand. Nintendo was very well known for so long for its shtick.
Yes.
And maybe, like, you got each console, you maybe got, like, two adult-themed games, that's about it. But it was always stuff, you know, it was always from proper development companies with, a long back catalogue and, you know, properly supported by Nintendo. So, to suddenly go, do you know what, we're going to take this risk. And it's not like they've not done, like, a Steam... you know, green light thing where it's like, anyone can put a game on here.
Oh, no, they're definitely a lot more curated than Steam.
But I think that's the thing. Nintendo, I think, has the people power to properly curate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they'll put the people towards it to curate, to keep their image going. Because I feel like Steam a little bit is like, I'm not too concerned what you think of me. Think of the game.
Oh, yeah. The floodgates are open for Steam.
Nintendo's like, no. You still have to think well of Nintendo. So we're still going to be checking everything that we put on here.
For sure. To jump into another example, do you remember Celeste that released earlier on in the year? I think January?
Yeah, it was by the people who did Tower Ascend, I believe.
Yeah, Towerfall Ascension.
Yeah.
It came out to massive critical reception, but maybe didn't sell as well as they were kind of hoping.
Mm-hmm.
Although they then released a statement after they made the port to Switch that the Switch version sold better than the PC version, better than the PlayStation version, and better than the Xbox version. So they've really kind of found their home on the Switch, because here's a console that's outselling the rest.
Yeah, and it's just crazy. And the Switch is made for these smaller, more... one moment titles kind of thing. Yep. Indies are usually, you're not sitting down to play an indie for 100 hours.
No. And wow. The Switch, depends on the kind of game, I guess.
Yeah, but like even then, like it's not like built around, they're built, usually an indie I find is built around bite-size interaction.
I totally agree.
You sit down, you have a little bit, you can go away, you can come back, you can do a little bit more.
Yep.
Nothing there, it's kind of like you slog at it for like hours on end. And I think that works so well with the Switch, because I don't think the Switch is a kind of console that I want to play for hours on end. It is that kind of pick up, do a little bit, put down, pick up, do a little bit, put down. And the ability to have it handheld and on your TV means that you're able to move around with it a lot easier. And these kind of experiences that are bite-sized are much more consumable in this kind of industry. I think the other really good thing is it's prompting a lot of older indies to now head over to Nintendo and be like, knock, knock, hey, we've been out for like 5 years, but we're a very popular indie. We'll be perfect for you. Look at things like Inside and Limbo.
Yes.
Who both just came out week before last, I think, on the Nintendo Switch. And it's something that, you know, they've just found a whole new audience because of this.
And it's something we see time and time again. And I'm so glad it's happened, right? Because when you're releasing a game, you look at those kind of week one sales figures as a good indication of your popularity moving forward.
Yep.
And for a lot of these studios, they release their game and maybe it doesn't hit the kind of reception they wanted. They don't quite sell as many copies and it's a bit of a, oh no, crisis, what do we do moment. And then the Switch kind of releases, and if you're successful enough to make a port to the Switch, it's like you get your release all over again. It's another fresh release. We see it time and time again where a game will get ported to the Switch, and it'll be like this big deal. It's like, oh my god, the Switch is getting X game.
Yep.
And suddenly there's a lot of excitement for it and a lot of purchases, and it's like a launch all over again.
It's a relaunch, and it, do you know what it is? It's, you get that trailer, and it opens with that bloody click noise. And it's like this little tick of approval that make people go, I'm paying attention to this because Nintendo put their name to it. And no matter what your opinion on Nintendo is, they are still one of the big names that people look to.
Yep.
When it comes to gaming, you look at what they're doing and go, what are they doing? They're doing something, I'm gonna pay attention. So regardless if you think the Nintendo is mainly for kids or anything like that, anything they do, you do pay attention to it. It's just nice to be able to give these games a chance in areas they wouldn't, because the Switch is just so much more accessible to people than having to buy a gaming PC.
Not to mention, like, if you look at Steam, let's take Steam, which is the biggest PC platform there is, and you're looking for a new game, so you look at the new release list, and there's 50 things that release just that day, and most of them are these terrible kind of shovelware or just really bad quality games.
Awful games.
You're hiding all of the gems within the terribleness. It's a diamond in a rough kind of situation, or a needle in a haystack kind of situation, whereas the Switch, just because there's less games coming and there is a bit more curation, all of a sudden any one single game gets a lot more attention.
Yep.
So, for instance, if we take another a tweet from the Castle Pixel developers who made Blossom Tales, they said that Blossom Tales is now a turnaround story. The humble indie developer Castle Pixel can stay in business and continue making games. Love y'all. 3 months, Switch revenues surpassed Steam lifetime revenues 20 times.
That's crazy.
20 times.
I like, that's so good to hear in an industry where you hear of all these like development houses shutting down. Like,
oh yeah,
it's hard, and to know that one of the big boys like Nintendo have got the back of these smaller developers like this is just so exciting.
Yeah, and for all the studios you hear that shut down, there's probably another 50 that don't get recognized that shut down, because indie developers, it's such a hard game to get into, right? You release your debut game and it's a make or break situation. You do not do very well, and that might be it for your studio. So these guys who thought that this was their last game, they can't possibly survive in this market, they didn't make enough money, all of a sudden release on Switch and they're booming again.
I remember we did PAX last year, and it was the first PAX since Switch came out, and nothing had really been said about what the Switch would be offering leading up to its release in terms of an online store and, you know, developing third parties, that kind of thing.
Yep.
And I remember when we traveled through the indie section, which is our favorite section of
PAX absolutely.
Every year, every single one of those people was talking about, I want to get the game on Switch. Mm-hmm. I want to get it on Switch. So
I think it's because part of it is just that portability, right? Like, if I were to ask you, do you want a game on PC or Switch? The general answer is usually going to be Switch because you have so many different options to play that game. You can play it on the train. You can play it like on the toilet. You can play it wherever you want to, whereas the PC, it's so stagnant.
I love that you went from train to toilet really easily. Like bed? You could have said bed.
No, I picture you on the toilet.
Me? Can you not picture me on the toilet, thank you?
Cameron, this is Checkpoint Intimates. We need to go in these regions.
There are areas that are still locked off.
Yeah.
I still don't pee in front of my husband. I'm not going to let you in the bathroom as well. I think it's really interesting considering like the Wii, the Wii U, the online marketplace wasn't phenomenal for them. They had the eShop, but no one was really using it. The Switch is built around that eShop.
Yes.
It thrives off that eShop. And it's good to see that because it means that, you know, these indies don't necessarily have to create a physical cartridge version of their game. Because it used to be one of the biggest things that held Nintendo back in early days is that people had problems developing using the tools that they were using.
Yeah, it was new technology, right?
Yeah, they wouldn't take on... Nintendo refused to take on CD-ROM, so the Nintendo 64, they lost a lot of developers because they were like, I can't work with the software that you're using, so I'm not going to bother making for you. So now that they offer this digital thing, yes, they do have the cartridges, which I understand are a lot easier to develop for, but because it's a digital space as well, it's so much easier to build games for it.
Absolutely, and much like Blossom Tales, the people who made SteamWorld Dig 2 also came out with similar information saying that their game sold nearly 10 times the amount as on Steam. That news to me was super surprising because I remember when SteamWorld Dig 2 launched and there was a lot of, like, a bit of buzz around that game, a lot of attention. I bought that game just based on, you know, the kind of word of mouth spreading about that game when it released. So I'm quite surprised that it didn't do very well for itself on PC, or maybe it just did exceptionally well on Switch and it did do decently on PC.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's so strange to think now that the Switch is kind of becoming the home of indies in this kind of, you know, these figures coming out. I remember that game coming out and everyone was talking about it, in indie scenes. It wasn't, you know...
No, you weren't talking to your mother about it.
It wasn't front page of, you know, every gaming website. But people who loved indies definitely were excited about it. So to hear that it's outsold Steam... Like, I can't imagine, like, did something else come out at the same time as it that kind of clashed with it?
I mean, there's always something coming out at the same time, isn't there?
Yeah, but, like, an indie that comes out up against even sometimes a AAA can still absolutely smash it.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, indies are where a lot of new ideas get to be brought up.
Oh, for sure.
And so, it just seems so strange that they would outsell it by 10 times. That's crazy. Especially considering, like... I feel like more people have PCs than Switch, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, definitely more people have PCs than Switch.
The Switch sold unbelievably well.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think it... Not well enough to erode years upon years upon years upon years.
Steam has a huge user base. Like, absolutely huge user base. So, for any gaming console to come out and only be available for, what, like 1.5 years now?
One and a half.
I just can't imagine that the Switch could have more users. Although, having said that, I think what it really comes down to is the fact that, you know, you go to the Nintendo Switch eShop, and all of a sudden there's, like, this banner ad for SteamWorld Dig 2, and it's like, well, there's no way this game got that kind of attention on Steam because it was competing with so many other things.
Yeah, that's fair.
Not to mention, Switch users, I know there is a good catalogue of games on the Switch, but Switch users, more than PC users, I think are searching for games for them to play on their Switch, whereas PC users have just the biggest back catalogue, selection of games coming out. As I mentioned earlier, there's like 50 games coming out every day, and that's probably an underestimate.
Well, it helps that as well. Nintendo didn't really oversaturate their own releases into the Switch.
Yep.
A lot of people always complain, there's not enough titles on the Switch, but that's where the indies came in to fill that gap, and so they got the attention because Nintendo wasn't like, here's Zelda, here's Mario, here's You've got months between each of these releases, and we still have more to come even come yet.
Like, I don't want to use this word, but I'm going to use this word. Indies for Nintendo are kind of padding in between their big titles, right? Because they release, like, you know, big game in X month, and then another big game a few months later, and it's like, well, what do we play in between that? Oh, look at this. There's an awesome catalogue of indie games to keep me going.
It's also a nice palate cleanse. Dealing with just first-party games from Nintendo, you can get a bit like, if it's just that. Having this variety now means that you can be like, I'm going to try something I've never tried before. What's this game? Oh, it's a really cool RTS that's a bit indie. Like, I'll have a look at that. Or, you know, Celeste, a really different style to anything that, you know, is available through Nintendo directly. So you're able to really diversify what you're playing. It reached a point where a lot of people felt like when you played on Nintendo, you kind of played like one kind of shtick.
Yes.
They probably had like three games and they were just, you know, like game styles. You know, three really similar gaming styles and they wouldn't really experiment much. This lets them experiment without doing any kind of financial risk themselves.
Yeah.
And they can go, oh, that sold really well. Why don't we try and, you know, incorporate some of those ideas into our game?
For sure. And I think it's super cool to see Nintendo embracing niches because, as we mentioned earlier, they were very one kind of monofocused in the past. And now they're like, including the Nindies, they're covering all bases almost, which is awesome. And obviously the players are excited for that. And that's why they're buying so many of these indie games on the Switch. And it's also interesting because we're seeing developers develop for the Switch now too. So previously it was like, your main development platform was the PC, and if you did well, you'd branch out to Xbox and PlayStation.
And then you'd now, get a really, really bad port to the Wii U that no one played.
Yeah, if you were lucky.
Yeah.
Now, we're almost seeing developers ignore the Xbox platform, and now the main platforms are Nintendo and PC, and sometimes PlayStation.
Yep.
So it's so interesting, because you're looking at the games coming up, and it's like, oh, there are so many games coming out on Switch and ignoring the Xbox. What a weird world we live in.
It's also that thing that you'll get a lot of games that will go Sony and Switch because of the Japanese player base and the fact that Xbox just doesn't sell in Japan.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And both companies originate... Well, does Sony originate in Japan as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. So both originate from Japan. I don't know why I just suddenly went, wait, does it? I've just always assumed.
No, it definitely does.
It definitely does. So you've got both originate from Japan. So it's that kind of thing like there's a bigger market, especially in Japan, because people will usually either have a Switch or a PlayStation. Not many PC gamers in Japan and not many Xbox gamers in Japan. So those two platforms, you get a bigger audience.
Mm. Well, that's about all the time we've got. I think that really covers why we think the Switch has been so successful. And thank you, Nintendo, for embracing indies.
Yeah, let's just see this kind of trend of, you know, hopping down off that Nintendo high horse they were a little bit on. Like, they were, and fans were as well. Like, let's hope this trend continues, and we just see them kind of change some of the stuff that they've got into a rut.
Yeah, they're just being just a little bit more humble, aren't they?
Let's get humble, let's get interesting, and Nintendo, you'll be back on top in no time.
Easy. Thank you, Cam, for joining me.
Thank you for being intimate with me, Elliot.
Oh, no problem. I'll join you on the toilet.
No!
Later.
No! No! Yes. We're done.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.